Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
if I had $1 million.
Well, we're back to Stacks and Jacks. A little late here this morning, but we can't fault anyone. Well, yeah, we can. Let's, as I woke up this morning, as soon as I get in the car, Louie, you with us? Well, he'll be here in a sec. As soon as I got in the car, I heard Kennedy closed because of shooting, and I'm thinking our girl Jay-Z is going to have an issue. And I guess, Jay-Z, unless you got to the express lanes early, which you would never know because there's only one entrance when you were coming by, unless you got to the express lanes early, you're pretty much screwed. There's stuff going on in the expressway every single, no, I won't say every single, three times a week is getting out of hand. I'm telling you, we need the rat patrol. People don't necessarily equate me with Mr. Law and Order. I'm telling you, I have no problem with riddling those cars with bullets and dropping out the bodies. Anybody who shoots on an expressway, doesn't care where it lands, you're beyond the age of reason, like my grandmother used to say. I don't know if there's any rehab for you. And I know there's a lot of people who don't like it if I say something like that, but how do you rehab somebody who thinks it's okay to shoot at other people in a car not knowing who's in there? Especially a week after a baby got shot in a car on the south side and is clinging to life. I mean, there's something wrong with these people. I don't care what color they are. I'm not even going to make an assumption. Now, it doesn't really matter. Anybody who does that, I don't know where they don't belong in this society. I'm just saying. Lou, am I going to get thrown off the air now or what? Are you with us?
No, but the history there in Chicago is that it probably was gang-related. Would be the odds. And Chicago's already demonstrated over and over again that not only are the police having a hard time dealing with gang issues, in some cases because of the connections of gangs to the city leadership, and I'm speaking specifically of at least one alderman that I know that was heavily involved with at least one gang member and had several on her staff, but there's a tolerance or fear, I'm not sure what it is, of this kind of activity in those neighborhoods, in certain neighborhoods. You know, they won't come forward, and people won't come forward and say, yeah, I know why this person was shot or whatever. It's astounding to me that the level of violence there persists. And I get the whole history with the cops and the distrust of the police and everything else. I understand that. But the bottom line is that at some point you hope that those folks that are involved in these whose people they know where you have a community that has this kind of level of violence, that the community itself begins to try to take some kind of action rather than simply marching up and down the streets and saying we need more gun control, which is basically the response, I think.
Well, that's a it's a response. I don't how can I put this in a term where I don't sound like I don't go viral. I abhor the shootings that we've seen, police on people. Usually ends up to be on black people, but it probably could be on anybody who attacked or a policeman acted like he was untrained or whatever. But you see two or three or four of those a year, which is two or three or four too many. We all understand that. But statistically, I hate to go anywhere with this one, but you look at the numbers, Lou. They're pitiful. What I'm saying,
the whole issue of police shooting unarmed African American men, the Black Lives Matter, is a statistical anomaly. It is minuscule. And I mean, if you look at reports by people like Heather McDonald and other folks like this. Now, having said that, that doesn't excuse it. It doesn't mitigate the problems of having state authority engaged in this kind of behavior. And I'm not going to dispute that this stuff happens. I'm not going to dispute that in some cases it's deliberate. But those are anomalies when you look at the big picture. We've got five or six of those kinds of shootings a year, and you have 500 or 600 murders.
Oh yeah.
I would say the focus is on the wrong place.
Well, Lou, it's a question of training. My family had several policemen in it. I've seen areas in the city that are in suburbs and so forth that do halfway decently. And again, you know, everybody thinks I'm talking out of my hat here, but I'm really not. I'm out on a limb this morning because I got my attorney with me, but I think, honestly, that there should be, how can I put this properly? If people are going to shoot out of cars on the expressway, I want those people shot by police while they're doing it. I don't want them to be able to empty the guns going down the expressway with no policeman there. I have no problem with a police shooting there. I honestly don't. I mean, I hate to see it. But when you see, I mean, you know, there's no point of, let's put it this way, look, people understand where some of the issues are. If somebody blows by you on the expressway with blacked out windows and temporary license plates, and there's five guys sitting in there with hoods, there is no way on earth a policeman that pulls them over should walk up to that car with a drawn gun. It's a recipe for disaster. He should wait until he gets two or three more cars, gets back up, and they should do it properly with the cameras on and the whole bit. But there's no question in my mind, if I'm that policeman, there's a problem with me walking up to that car, probably, or maybe, certainly much different than going after, you know, some blind old lady in a SUV that blew the stop sign on the south side because she's playing with her cell phone. It's a different, if you don't think that that's not a different stop, you know what? There's something wrong with you because it is, Lou. I mean, it just is. If anybody didn't think so, you know, I don't know what world you're living in, you know, but the answer is training and backup. But if you start wandering up there with a gun out and all of a sudden a guy pulls down the window and they could be innocent. First impressions aren't always right. We know that. They could be in it. Some guy makes a move. All of a sudden you pull a trigger. It turns out there's not a gun in there. Not only is somebody hurt, you're an idiot. I mean, you just can't do that stuff, Lou. You just can't. I'm just saying. I know my father.
But the issues that police face in these kinds of situations. I mean, I have seen, surveillance video after surveillance video after surveillance video released by either the Fraternal Order of Police there or by the Chicago, police department itself of what officers, you know, are confronting in many of these shooting situations. And invariably they are reporting, they're coming on the scene after shots have been fired.
Yes.
Knowing that there's a gun, therefore there's a gun present, a credible report of a gun present. They see a suspect do something that in other words, the suspect typically isn't following their directions in most cases.
Oh, correct.
And does something, either pulls a gun or acts like he or she's got a gun, although it's invariably he. And you know, I'm sorry, at that situation, I'm not going to ask a police officer to stand by and wait and see if the individual, after shots have been fired, if the individual is in fact armed.
Lou, some of these ones on the expressway, these are not everyone, but a lot of them are bar driven. Some of the clubs, that open up 10, 11, 12 at night, that I've never been to one of these things, of course they wouldn't let me in. Lou, they're still packed in lines. It's 11 o'clock waiting to get into these places. I mean, and so You got it, most of them make you go through a metal detector, I think, or they pat you down pretty good. So there's no guns in there. Two idiots get pissed off at each other. They come out, it accelerates, they head to the parking lot, and they all got guns in the car, and they hit the expressway, and they're shooting at each other. This is like something out of the Old West. But how does somebody who has, as my grandmother used to say, at the age of seven, you're supposed to know right and wrong. How does somebody not know, wait a minute, not only are we liable to get, like, hurt and killed, but other people are, too? I mean, how does the religious slash education slash parental system make it to that stage where two idiots 25 years old are shooting at each other out of a car on the expressway? How the hell do we get there from here? That didn't happen in the Old West, for God's sake.
Because that culture, the culture that these guys grew up in, is a violent culture where there are very few consequences for many of these folks when they get into a situation like this. I mean, imagine if your neighborhood was overrun, if I can use that term, overrun with people with guns who robbed, dealt drugs, did other stuff, and that was the culture you had. First thing you would do is you would, I won't say hyper masculinity, but maybe that's the right term. This hyper masculinity of insult and response that develops within such a culture. I don't have any trouble imagining I would have a gun, and if people I knew shot other people and either weren't arrested or were released quickly or didn't seem to suffer any particular consequences for it, I'm a teenager or somebody just into their 20s, so my judgment is idiotic anyway. I could see this kind of thing arising.
Well, how does
what I don't understand is why where you have a law enforcement option that's available, why that's not exploited more?
I don't understand
and it's
how
not exploited more because people don't trust them. Don't trust the cops. Well, I understand that too.
Explain to me. I read at a very early age that no matter where you are, an organized society will always find, even if it's a very docile society, will always come up with enough, shall we say, law enforcement, bad stuff, punishment, whatever it happens to be, to protect themselves. That's the part of an organized society. Why are we failing? When you go to some place like, my buddy, I don't think you've met him, my buddy John Lee's been on the show.
I mean, look at it this way, Chief. I mean, you may have just answered the question. In some respects, what is happening in these neighborhoods is in some cases an act of defense. It's an act of self-defense.
Okay, but what I'm saying is when you, there are places in the world that I wouldn't necessarily want to live. I mean, my buddy John Lee moved to he went to Singapore. And he said, the fact that this place is a dictatorship and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I don't like people. I moved in, they had to view my tapes to make sure there was no pornography on there. He said, but in terms of freedom, he goes, the idea that people in America won't let their kid on the bus, because my kids are 9 years old, they're on the bus and they're taking a cab. The thought of anybody robbing your house or messing with your kid, it's foreign to these people. I mean, how is it? I mean, Robert and I, she's been on the show before. I don't. You weren't on when Sister Stephanie was on, were you? I don't think so. The runner, she was.
No.
There's a group that have this mission over on the west side, and it's in basically a horse bleep neighborhood, and it's on like Independence Boulevard in Iowa. So say Chicago and Pulaski, say somewhere over there. So we're talking about a bad spot. So it's a one-way street. So Robert and I are going down, and it's your usual. It's not quite as bad as Inglewood, Lou. Matter of fact, it's probably on a scale of 1 to 10. Inglewood's probably a 9, and this is probably a 7. So on every block, there's, it's hard to average it out, but I'm going to say there's 7 or 8 vacant lots, 7 or 8 boarded up places, and 10, 12 places still trying to live there and make a go of it. So it's that kind of a mix. And you wonder those people have zero rights. the people there that are actual trying to live the American dream, for lack of a better term, they have zero rights. So they walk out. So there's this guy on the sidewalk and in the street, you know, not in the middle because we get by him, is this big dude in a big red outfit standing in the street. I go, Robert, does that look to you like the drug house? He goes, it sure does. I said, the guy's, he might as well put a red bandana on his head, a big light up into the atmosphere. I mean, talk about advertising, Lou. I mean, we're not talking about two schlumps sitting on the porch that you got to give the high sign for him to walk into the street. The guy's wearing like a Santa Claus outfit so you can see him. I mean why is it that we can't deal with this? Well, that may not.
Well, okay, so Singapore is a police state.
I'm just saying. I didn't say I wanted to go that route.
I'm just saying this is the trade-off that you pay for this kind of thing is a significant loss of civil liberties for everybody. And where you don't have the ability to police a neighborhood or take care of a neighborhood, and you don't there, in some of these places, then you your response is force. And if you want to collect, you want to deal with the gun problem on South Side Chicago, or the gun problem in downtown Denver, or the gun problem in New Orleans, or Miami or wherever, it would require wholesale confiscation of weapons, illegal weapons, and the only way you would find them is to put a police or National Guard cordon around a block. And then stop everybody from going in and everybody from going out, and then systematically search every house, every car, every garage, and then arrest people as a result. Our jurisprudence doesn't allow that.
I understand that, Lou, and I'm not advocating that, but I'm saying at some point, and I don't know where it is, I think we're past it, and I think it's a discussion we need to have, and I'm not about to be searching people on the street. That's not me. But I will say this. If you drive through these places, by the way, Lou, you were on last week, but I've got a new mentality now. I've gotten the idea where if somebody says something that I think initially is like really dumb, I'm going to understand why they said it and then the reason behind it. And the reason behind it and why they said it isn't necessarily dumb. Maybe they didn't think the answer out exactly, but the reason they said it, they've observed something and they haven't maybe described it properly, but it reaches the point, Lou, and I understand that I don't want to be a police state in these areas and I don't want to be Singapore, but I also know that at some point, if all of a sudden, say you lived in Lincoln Park or you lived in, whatever, you lived in what Lily White suburb did you live in? You were, where were you?
Out west. Well, I was up by Lake Grange.
Okay, so if all of a sudden this started to happen on your block, you would expect, if they had to put a police machine gun nest on your block so your kid could walk to the store and get an ice cream cone, you would expect the police to bring whatever they had to bear to make life safe for you. Now, I don't think you want people to be knocked on the head. But I'm saying, in general, you know I'm right. And yet, somewhere along the line, we've made the decision that the 10 people still trying to make a go of it on this block and having their home there, somehow or another, they don't count. And I don't see how, as a society, you do that, is what I'm saying. I don't know the solution. I mean, but I'm saying, to me, those people's rights are more than the gangbangers' rights. Just to me.
I agree, but, you know, at the same time, if there was this level of violence going on in my neighborhood, I would suspect my neighbors would be calling the police, and this is this vicious circle you're in. My neighbors would be calling the police saying, yeah, this Michaels guy has got, you know, is the guy shooting the place up, or his kids are the people shooting the place up, and we need a response.
I'm saying whatever it is, though, you would expect them to get whatever budget they needed, whatever personnel they needed, whatever equipment they needed to make it safe for you. Yet these other people in these other neighborhoods, they don't seem to get that vote, Lou. That's my problem. I mean, it's not, when I go in those neighborhoods, I'm getting the point out, I don't see the losers causing the trouble. I see the good people that seem to have no rights at all.
I agree. And the fundamental right of every citizen is to be safe in your neighborhood and have physical security. And we're not providing it.
We're not providing
these places.
And we don't seem to care. Well, that's over in those areas. It's a violent area. Not all those people are violent. Give me a break.
No.
Still some small percentage of them are.
Yeah. In fact, most of them aren't.
No, I mean,
I'm going to have to check off here.
Well,
it's almost six.
Yeah.
Time.
All right, buddy. Thanks for hanging in there. The Kennedy closed this morning. Interesting. I knew Jay-Z was going to have a problem. And she did. What can we say? We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Take care.
SP futures up 975. NASDAQ futures up 31. We've got the Fed back in line. We're just going to keep going up, at least for a little while. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Lone Wolf Pack, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Thomas Howell. She's Jay-Z on the board. Jay-Z, welcome back. It's been a little while. And they tried to mess with you coming in this morning.
Literally, nobody wants me here.
I don't know about that. I do. we missed you.
Thanks.
And Farid, did you miss Jay-Z? How
are you? Too. How can you not miss a cute blonde?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
Welcome to America.
But you know, she's not popular, she's not cute, she's not anything if you talk to her.
I'm sorry?
She's not popular, she's not cute.
Being modest.
I thought she was blonde.
She is.
Fake
okay.
Blonde.
But she's fit,
she's
whatever.
Not cute.
Depends on what week you get her, whether she's blonde or not. I mean, she's cute.
I said cute and blonde. That's all I said. Yeah. Those are the two qualifiers.
But no, but she's not any
you
of those things.
Those tests, you're in.
She's not any of those things. She's not popular.
She's not cute and she's not blonde. No. Okay.
And she's not popular.
I've never seen. I made a bid. That's all.
Oh,
and she's so unpopular that one of her biggest problems is trying to choose between three things to do on virtually every night. But she's not popular. Just saying.
Well,
it's subjective.
Yes.
At least I hope she's warm.
I will
Given
say
the
this.
Temperatures I'm hearing from some of my trainers in Chicago.
It's actually
I hope
warm
all of
out
you
today.
Guys are warm.
It's
actually,
not even
we're
cold out.
Yeah, we're 44. We'll give the weather in a minute. I'm not going to steal her show, but it's going to be like 40 something today. So get a load of this. So Fari, let's just say, without casting any aspersions on Jay-Z and her ilk, what do you suppose would happen if I threw two things? Did you see the viral thing about the three guys trying to figure out how to use a rotary dial phone?
No.
It's friggin' hilarious.
Have that kind of time.
It's friggin' hilarious.
If you send it to me, I'll probably look at it. Otherwise,
well, they had no concept that you had to pick the...
So what happened? Tell me.
Well, they had no concept
50 words or less.
Well, you couldn't pick... The idea that you had to pick the receiver up to get a dial tone first.
They couldn't get that.
They had no idea. And then they had no idea that you had to take the 8 and bring it all the way to the end, and that's how the thing counted 8. So they're bringing it like halfway, and they couldn't get the number out. So I was thinking of going over to DePaul and having a quickie dialing on phone / reading map class. How do you think I do over there?
Well, I think you got, if you want really people watch that and see that, you better put it on YouTube. Nobody's going to listen to you in the class.
Well, as we're texting
you're
back and forth.
You're still thinking in the other century.
But there's
it's
a...
It's like the wall. The wall is a 19th century or 1500 AD, you know, or whatever it was, so... Long time ago, Senor.
Sorry, I know I'm getting up there, but
yeah.
I'm going to say this.
Has nothing to do with your age. That's not what's implied. No. It has to do with the school of thinking.
Well, see, here's where I'm coming from. Tell me where I'm wrong here, then we'll talk about markets. If you learn how to guide yourself around via a map, and you understand the principles, the north and south, how this works with that, and then all of a sudden you come across with Google Maps, or what was the original one? Just regular maps, or whatever. God, I forgot.
AAA.
No, there was an original.
You mean electronic?
Yeah, there was an online maps that was before Google.
MapQuest.
Yeah, MapQuest. But you get that for convenience. That's terrific. It's like learning how to multiply and divide, and then handing the person a calculator. That's terrific. But if you just hand them a calculator or you just hand them the convenience and don't teach them how to read the map or multiply and divide in the original sense, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah. No.
Just saying.
I used to do two digit by 2 digit in my head. I can't even do one by one anymore.
There were guys...
Thanks to a Hewlett Packard.
There were guys back at in Pullman days... The accountant guys that would sit there and whack on the machines all day long about the...
The one with the big handles you pulled out?
Those guys, would look at a column of numbers with 15, 20 big numbers in them, and they could add them up in their head, just give you the bottom line, faster than you could click it into the machine.
Yeah. So.
I couldn't do that.
First to HP, then what was it? VisiCalc, 1, 2, 3, and then came Excel. I mean, completely wiped out. We've done the same thing with, what do you call it, with thesaurus and the spelling. We've done the same thing with, and Word. You know, we've lost it, period.
You know how hard it is to...
I just looked up a wall of China. That was built in 228 B.C.
And it took them how many? It took
up to 220 B.C.
What did it take them, a century to build it?
I haven't read the whole thing.
It was a really long time.
It came in stages, obviously. There's a whole timeline of how this thing was built.
Well, they ended up, they did it to keep the people from the north, the Mongols and the,
yeah, yeah,
the, those guys out. And in fact, what it did is,
remember, it kept their culture in. China is like the U.S. Okay? Russia is Siberia above it, and Mongolia. So, yeah, they had to keep those guys away because there's a fertile land and agriculture and all that, so.
Right,
it's amazing how they had food shortages.
All right, Fry, how are we going to go?
Under communism.
We had some big issues in the market all last quarter, and we decided we were going to figure out how to not do that anymore. So we got the Fed back in line. We're back into our routine. As long as we prop up asset prices, we don't worry about debt. We don't worry about anything else. And but you know what, Fry? You can't go anywhere and argue the case because if somebody says, okay, you think that's a problem, show me. Market goes up every day, everybody's happy. I suspect it's still, you know, it's not something you want to do, but something we're doing. And yet every day now we're, and every day the thing in China, we got our best
man
on the job.
I don't know if it's that simple, but I would keep a look at the crude. Crude keeps on cropping. Creeping up right now, it's 55 almost. All right,
we have no inflation.
68, the
no inflation.
The March, if that is creeping up, get to 70 or 65. I think Jay Powell is going to say, "Well, wait a second. We got to look at a few things. If we get to 3,000 on the S&P, I think they're going to revisit the numbers. Look at where CPI is coming in.
Zero."
The number of factors we've got to look at. What scares me the most, which we don't talk about, is the debt. $22 trillion now.
Yep.
We crossed that line. And who is going to pay for this is the question. So if you look at history, these are the stuff that leads to wars.
But it's nothing that anybody, and you've got, and I used to, you know, rail against Barack Obama when I railed. And Trump's the same way. You've got people that have, you know, FIDs, PhDs, that are Nobel laureates, that are telling you, not worry about the debt. Just go for it. Go for it, Lucy. I mean, guys...
Look at the alternate.
But these guys are
remember,
they're
anxious all started with taking us off the gold standard by Bill Simon. Gold was fixed at 35 and everything was off that, but you couldn't have the homes you have. Not the rich. I'm talking about the average. And I think they were trying... They could see this coming, that they could do. Save off national strife and turmoil.
But everything...
keeping the small guy who doesn't understand purchasing power happy. He's a bigger house and he's got a bigger paycheck, but not in purchasing power terms. So.
Not in purchasing power, and he's got that pretty much...
unless you really get into logarithmic return and move up in the purchasing power, you haven't advanced your life.
How do we...
You're just trading dollars. Except these are inflated dollars. You're just happy. And then they give you the beer, the football, the babes, and the Seinfeld, and that's it. But you don't ask questions.
Farhi, how do you have a...
You know why? Because we have Second Amendment. Otherwise, you'd have revolution, just like every other failed country. We are a banana republic, if you think about it.
We're out to dinner last night.
Because less of our technology. Ex-technology, we're a banana republic.
Well, I would agree. I was out to dinner last night with some couple of guys from way back in the SIBO days. They're talking about their kids and how they're essentially maxed out on credit cards, and yet...
Oh, no, the kids, why do you think the new incoming is so much to the left? Because they're fed up, they're so scared. This is, in their 20s and 30s, this is what they're facing? Extrapolate, hello, extrapolate.
Okay. Right.
Guess when they're going to get to their silver age, or whatever they call it, you know, the golden ages, whatever. Like, what they're going to be? They're scared to death. So now they're trying everything. Oh, we got to go green. We got to do this. What are you going to do with airplanes? What happens to 747? How are you going to fly airplanes when with no carbon footprints?
Well, you're probably not.
You're going to shoot people back and forth on email, PayPal those with money.
Well, look how green.
Like that.
Look how green Scotty's Beamer was.
How do I get my food? Oh, I think about it, and then it gets emailed to me. The food itself, no. We need UPS. We need Amazon. I'm glad I don't have kids.
Well,
I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I don't have kids.
Why would I,
if I had kids with my IQ, I would expect them to sue me. If they had not IQ, my DNA. If they had my DNA, they would sue me and say, who gave you a right to bring us to this world? What a mess this is. Listen, we also have a government that's a banana republic. Think about it.
Well, but why
happened to Article 1 of the Constitution, Trumpkins?
Why would somebody you know, why would ever...
The Trumpies have no answer for me, by the way. Down here, they used to be so much antagonistic to me last year. Now, they just shut up. They don't even talk anymore because they've been dead wrong. And Caveman 2 now. He's caved again. So, I don't know. I hope we don't get into anarchy. Again, second.
We sort of are.
We have 300 million guns here. For what?
What
are we trying to protect?
We are. Well, we look at what the court of public opinion is. It's totally overtaken the judicial system.
Because it's a show. It's a show. Judge Jeanine tells you what the law is. Really? How come her husband got pinched?
What's her name? Is the Judge Judy? Judge Judy.
That's the one that's on regular TV.
I can't ask you the question. As they used to say on the South Side. I can't ask you the question when I just gave you the answer. Who by far is the highest paid person on TV?
I have no idea.
Judge Judy.
Really? Not interesting.
I'm close.
That gives you the IQ.
Not even close.
And look at the profile. Who's listening to it? That tells you where we are.
I know, Jay-Z, if you got a second, I'm going to say that all the people you would guess like a Mark Harmon in CIS or some of these guys in these shows that have been around forever, or not Letterman show my age, the guy Fallon or these guys, they're in the 5, 10 million, 15 million. She's like 40.
A year.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
But her show's how many hours a day, every day.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's you would never guess that. But how far we got? How do you know? I've got all kinds of people now that are piling into the Protect Internet program after last quarter. The word is out about the chief and his program. And to be honest, I'm like a one-armed paper hanger here, putting people in and doing stuff. But I'm really leaning along. I mean, I'm not. I'm not. 2 weeks ago, I put some people in. Fari, I've never made better trades in my life. I just happened to get in. I caught the bottom.
When I bought the Dow at 729 on Silver Crash, my dad was scared to death. He had no idea what was going on all year. He was not a market guy. He was a fighter pilot. But all he could read, and I would take him my Wall Street Journal, and he would read and says, all this stuff, and you bought this stuff? What's going to happen? 6 months later, or no, 6 weeks later, 6 weeks later, I don't know what we were trading at. We were trading some crazy number. He would even introduce me as like my boy.
Yeah.
What a smart boy he is. So, yeah, but high tide rises all the boats. All of a sudden, I was the smartest kid on the block. So.
Well,
you take all of that with grand.
So get a load of this. I'll lob this out there for people. But I said, okay, got these portfolios. I said, we'll try the protected program, and we'll try the QQQs. Because the Facebook and those guys were getting basically their butt kicked. And I didn't like QQQ forever when it was... 46% six stocks, but now that those stocks got whacked a little bit, I figured this one might be a pretty good one. So I buy some of this stuff for everybody, from by 10 people. I buy it at 161, Farah. This is 2 weeks ago. This morning it's trading, it's an index. It's trading 171.78 this morning. So now...
Have you bought any cannabis stocks? Some of them have options on them, too.
I'm going to... You know what my issue is with those, Farah, and I'll be honest with you.
I thought you were always honest with me.
No, I'm going to really be honest with you because believe it or not.
Okay, go ahead.
Believe it or not, I stay away from crap I don't understand. And I know some people that are in the cannabis business here in Chicago and other places. But the reason why I stayed away from the cannabis thing in Canada is because I dealt with some people that remember back, I'm going to say 10, 12
you
years ago.
You dealt with some people, did you inhale?
Remember when the entire rage was the Canadian oil REITs?
Yeah.
And how they paid stocks trading $20 and they're paying a $3 dividend. And there were people, matter of fact, get a little of this interesting story because you like to go do some speaking too. Everybody knows we have an Arizona branch. John Neal comes in.
Right.
I went out to Arizona, this is 10, 12 years ago, and John says there's this big shindig, why don't you go speak? And they wanted me to speak, so I go, talking about options and the protected index program, and there was this one of these REITs, and the thing of it is, I kept looking at these things, and I look at all the fundamentals, I look at the balance sheet and the income statement. Mm-hmm. They in America, I don't really know the rules, the accounting rules like I used to, but I know for a fact that a company is only supposed to pay dividends essentially on money they made. Now I know there's some rules that if you have a bad quarter and you've been paying a dividend for 30 years, you can still pay it. So it's not a you know, it's not a hard and fast rule where you don't have to, you know, you can't.
Yeah, but also it's got to be approved by the board each payment.
I know, but I'm saying there is a
fiduciary issue.
I know, but there is a general rule that people don't pay out more than they made. Right.
Of course. Well, of course. It would be a fraction of what you make.
Well, in Canada, I go to these REITs and I look at, you know, Fari JZ Oil REIT. I look at the thing and they're making.
Well, that's a nice combo.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Huh?
And they're making 48 cents and they're paying a 3.50 dividend. Like forever. So.
JZ, with your brain and my looks, we can go places.
Yes. But I'm thinking somehow or another, either they're paying on cash flow or there's some sort of a huge, what do they call the oil thing, depletion allowance. Or something, oh. Something that allows these people. We're talking
do
about.
You still have those available?
I
thought they closed some of those loopholes.
I started the conversation by saying it was something I didn't understand.
Yeah, you did say that. Qualified that. Yes.
I'm going, okay. I don't know how the hell these guys are paying $3.50 when they're making 48 cents. So yeah. I never once got anybody into one of these things because I didn't
good
understand it. So I
over there they're so opaque. You know, some of these are there. I don't think we have anything. Listed here, right? I don't think there are any.
If
the federal government doesn't see it legal, how can it be listed on the NYSE?
What are they?
Or even NASDAQ or Pink Sheet?
I'm saying it was legal. I think they were paying in cash flow. I don't know. But
no, I'm talking about cannabis. The government doesn't see it as legal. You cannot bank.
I think you can.
The people in Denver, they're buying houses to use as a bank.
I think we're buying.
They're putting cement blocks where the windows are. Okay, and you walk in there. There's cash on the floor stacked up.
Sorry, try and find
on pallets.
Try and find a bank that'll take care of your marijuana place in Illinois. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So without that, how can they? So it can't be listed in the U.S.
I think the ADRs are
the stock itself.
Yeah, the ADRs are. I think.
I think they were Canadian.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bought one of the. People was helping me quite a bit in the past on the options. She ran. She worked for HP. She ran a large operation of that in Sacramento on the actually government contract side. And now she's retired. She's a very good, smart trader in options. I've known her 20 years. I said, listen, you got because the Admiral's not available. He's running his fund. I said, okay. Do you want to come in and help out? And I said, but you got to research and come up with ideas. And she's good at that stuff. She's really good at it. And that was one of the proposals she had. She said, I'm looking at these names. I said, you know what? I have no clue. I don't trade what I don't know. I trade the three pillars of S&P, financial, energy, and technology. And then selective names within them. Then I'll get two, three, during earnings, I got two, three names a day. Because there's a lot of companies in that realm, okay? Top 100, top 200 name S&Ps. But I stick to the ones I know. And so I said, listen, if you want to do it, just be prudent, and I'll back you up. Let's see what happens. Trade small. Let's see what happens. I have no clue how these things operate, what liquidity we have, and whatever, you know. So.
Well, if you want to be, I actually have a couple of ideas on how to deal with the cash in these places. You know, I've obviously my bandwidth. I'm so busy putting people's money to work lately that I actually think I could pull it off. All right, I mean, I've got ideas, but you've got places where literally the cash you're paying the state tax in cash. It's insane, and you've got
unbelievable.
You got
yeah, that's another thing. How does Denver or City of Denver or State of Colorado get paid?
They paid in cash.
With suitcases of cash.
Well, okay. One of the reasons why you want to go recreational. Is everybody thinks there's huge taxes on this? On the medical side, you know what state tax is?
What?
7%. That's all you charge. Because it's like it's medicine. It's like a drug.
It's medicine. I see. What happens on recreational?
I'm guessing a lot higher. But I don't know the number. But I bet it's 20 or something.
Murray, I thought you researched this, Murray.
Illinois,
you used to do your homework.
Illinois is going.
Jay-Z, what are you putting in this coffee?
Well, I know this from Colorado. Is I know the prices that some of them just traded for.
I see.
One just traded for $12 million and it included two growers and three distributors.
Wow.
But now there's like 200 of them.
Wasn't at the beginning they put their own people in first? Because of license control and all that.
Fari, this is, yeah. you know who got the stuff here in Illinois?
No.
Well, I mean, everybody had to make an application. I know some people have them. You either made an application for the grower, to be a grower, or
right.
a dispensary. And you had to make an application for an area. In some areas, there was no information coming back. So some areas got one. Some areas, nobody applied for the area because nobody knew nobody was going to. So I don't know how many there are in the state. I'm going to say 30, 40. But you had to apply for an area. And now those guys are all going to get one or two of the recreational ones. And now they're going out for application right now. If somebody wants to apply, I actually know people are putting these things together. Not me, but other people are. We're actually putting together the applications. And you have to pick a town, pick a place. Maybe it doesn't have a medical one, and you apply for that area. And the thing you're putting together, you better have some money behind you. You better do some research, because there's all these rules about how many yards from the school and how many yards from the, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's probably, in fact, I asked a guy when I was out dinner last night, one of the guys doing it. And he says, it's probably almost 2,000 hours work for each application.
2,000 hours?
Well, you've got to go to the, you got to get a place where, you got to find out where all the schools are, where all the, daycare.
You mean the, just complying with the,
yeah, the daycare centers?
Not being wrong given the restriction you have, right?
Well, the hard part.
You're basically you're doing a lot of research on the restriction.
Well, the best part, Fari, and this is where they really want to screw you, it's, you gotta be, I'm gonna say 1,000 yards from a daycare center. Doesn't necessarily have to be licensed. Some lady can be running one out of her living room with three kids.
Yeah, another thing I don't understand about these daycare centers.
Yeah, well, if it's one of those.
How can you have unlicensed places?
That you're supposed to know about.
Not because of this issue, but in general.
Yeah.
Why is it, why can we have unlicensed places?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess if there's a lady on the block and three women decide to go to work, and one lady could be a guy, it ended up being a lady, I'll take care of the kids, make sure they come home for lunch. Boy, there's an acronym from the past, but I'll make them lunch. I'll make sure, you know, if somebody calls from the school, I'll go get them or whatever. Maybe one person decides to do that, and everybody says, okay, we'll go to work, and we'll give you $25 a day for watching our kids. I mean, that's a daycare center. I'm guessing that it's not licensed. Why would it be?
Why shouldn't it be?
What? Well,
why would you have it's no different than high
school. Why would you have to? You're not one of these guys.
How can you have schools with no license? It's the same thing.
I mean, what's just because you pay money to the state, what difference does it make? When we first started PTI, we ended up having a couple clients in like Montana or someplace. We couldn't get our application for to be registered in that state for two weeks because the lady was on vacation. And we got back and we had to pay whatever it was, a couple hundred bucks, the state of Montana. Do you think that lady does anything for consumers out there or anything for us? You think because your barber's licensed, you're going to get a good haircut?
Yeah.
I mean, why does everybody have to give money to the state no matter what you do? You fart, you got to give money to the state. Will they make sure you fart right? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but they're watching your kids.
Well, what if your sister watches your kids?
Do a background check.
What if your sister watches your kids? You don't need
Oh.
I'm saying, at some level, why do you have to go talk to these guys?
No. Listen, I'm not talking about family and friends. I'm talking about a stranger.
Well,
no.
I get
they're
that
organized.
Part.
They're organized.
Well, once you start advertising as a daycare center, then I'm kind of with you. But yeah. I'm saying, but there's some level here. Just so what do you make of this market? Should we be worried here? Like I was saying before, I got such a great problem.
I think we, if the numbers stay calm, if the Guampino stays calm, and we don't have any turmoil here, and if Mo Mother stays calm, I think you should see 3,000. Yeah.
All right, so I shouldn't worry about...
Those are three big ifs. Any of them, it's like a chair. You pull one leg off, how stable is it to sit down in that chair?
Well,
be careful.
So I should
welcome to America. Make sure you got some hedging going on somewhere.
Well, that's the thing. Today I'm putting people's money to work, but instead of letting the calls, I was selling calls like literally, almost 8% out of the money because I was actually pretty bullish 2 weeks ago. But now we're up this high. I've got my puts real tight, and I'm selling calls $2 out of the money. I don't know if I have to give it that much room here, Ferry. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, we've been looking at a test of 2,800 to begin with immediately. I think that's in the cards. Above that, again, you know, we got to see what kind of a calm environment we have in based on economic data, political issues, and you know.
I'll make this prediction, Ferry, I'll make you a bet for an adult beverage, and I really hope that I'm the one buying. We just went through 22 trillion 2 days ago. We are in February. Yeah. I will bet you that within this calendar year, we go through 23.
Well, no, this is going to be the biggest debt. It's just scary. And we got kids running the show. They don't understand anything. They have no training in this area. They think debt is okay. It just, yeah.
Well, because
I pay my credit cards on Fridays. Every Friday on my phone.
Well, I'm saying, but
this way, even if I miss one Friday, I got three more payments.
You're talking
that month.
About
never carry a balance. Credit card is not for borrowing.
If 40 years ago, before Jay-Z, if you would have walked up on a stage and said, "In 40 years, everybody in this room is going to have a $10,000 or $15,000 balance to their bank on stuff they probably didn't even need in the first place," and they'd be paying 24%. Where do you think that speech would have gotten you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah. Well, think of it this way: it's almost 180,000.
Yeah,
is a national debt burden per taxpayer.
180.
So,
all right, we gotta go, buddy.
Net worth. If you have a net worth below 180,000 as a taxpayer. Right now,
you're debit.
You're bankrupt,
yep.
Technically, because the country belongs to you. We the people.
Sorry, we got to go, buddy. S&P futures up 8, NASDAQ futures up 29. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks, Mr. David Andelman.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Oshie. Jay-Z on the board after a harrowing morning, praying it on the Kennedy this morning. And nothing you can do when they close the expressway, basically. S&P futures up 6. They were up way more than that. We just came out with retail sales for December. They were down 1.2% instead of positive, so that's not good. The great Christmas that was, I didn't think there ever was one, and I hate being right like that, but once in a while I am. NASDAQ futures down up 22, so we're kind of leaking on these numbers. The PPI came out at unchanged, I believe, which I don't know if you want to believe that one either. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 42.4%, FTSE up 40.5%, CAC around up 41.8%, so generally across the board up there. Nikkei down 4, but this thing's been racking the last couple days. Shanghai down 1, call that flat. Hang Seng down 65, that's 0.2%, so we've got Mnuchin and Lighthizer and all the big guns are over in China talking, so we're actually trying to get serious about this, I think, and I suspect if there's going to be a deal, it might come, or at least there'll be enough of a movement on the deal for the president to push another 30 or 60 days on the March 1st, which is probably one of the reasons why we are rallying. Oil is up 28 cents, 54.418. Brent is up 61 cents, 64.22. That spread is now $10.04. We've seen that spread expand fairly dramatically. Natural gas, again, is below where it was before this winter started at 260, which is really strange because it went up to 450-something at one point. And we have gold down 760, 1307. Silver down 16 cents. So both getting whacked here this morning. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. You can tell us about some traffic firsthand.
Right away. All right, well, there's still massive amounts of traffic up on the Kennedy inbound from that shooting this morning, but it doesn't look like the diversity stop is closed anymore. At least that's what it says on here. Adams,
well, it was closed at diversity. You had to get off for you to be in the express lanes.
Yes, exactly.
And you guys missed the heads up to be in the express lanes, is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Which was a bummer.
So what were you listening to?
I think my
to?
Mom got a red light traffic ticket this morning, too, because I saw the thing flash.
Oh, God.
Yep. But that's life. What can you say? Adams is also closed between Franklin and Wacker due to falling ice. Weather in Chicago today is mostly cloudy with a high of 44, low of 14. Looks like some showers later on today. Phoenix is cloudy with a high of 59 and a low of 51. In basketball last night, the Bulls beat the Grizzlies 122-110, and the Suns lost to the Clippers 134-107. Nothing else. Back to you.
So, Jay-Z, David, are you with us?
Yes, he is.
David, you with us, bud?
Yes, I'm here.
So, I'll ask both of you guys that are Chicago natives. Last night, I get a parking ticket. Okay. With the new way you put your parking ticket in, it's so idiotic. Instead of having the little thing you put in the window, you now just tap in your license number, this big computer age we're in, right? And allegedly, somewhere in some, in the cloud someplace, you're supposed to be okay. Well, the thing does print you a receipt. So sure enough, I pay my $8 for 2 hours on the street, which is an abortion to start with. I come out and there's this big fat ticket on my truck. So I look at it, and it gives me a ticket at 9:07. Yet out of my pants, I yanked the receipt.
that says I paid for it at 9:01 and I was good to 11:01. So I don't know what glitch they have in their electronics. So if I send the receipt in, what excuse are they going to give me to say that somehow or another I should pay the ticket? Now, you know they're going to come up with something.
No, I think your receipt's good. That's why they give you a receipt.
Okay, but there's got to be something.
I've gotten some at the train station, and you know, and I've you know put in the wrong parking spot, and you know I was the one next door, but I had the receipt that I paid for the one next door, and I've turned that in, and they've canceled the ticket.
You're talking about the suburbs.
I get it. I live in the suburbs. You remember?
I know, but the city. That money is theirs. To give it back, there's got to be a tier on it.
Whatever. My daughter lives in the city, and I've known folks that have visited her, and they've gotten tickets for whatever reason. The machine didn't break, and they'd put a note on their window, and whoever was ticketing ignored the note, and they've been rescinded. So I think you're okay.
All right. I think I'm okay. You know what?
As long as you have that receipt. If you didn't have anything, your word probably would get you nowhere.
Well, the idea of slipping your credit card into these things on the street, I think I'm going to take Kevin's advice, and I'm going to get myself a credit card, and I want like a 200-hour limit on it that I use just for crap like that. So even if somebody does get it, they can only stick me for 200.
Right.
Anyway, they have a lot of stuff to talk about. One is the market obviously still wanting to go up. Actually, we're only up $1.50 now. These retail sales numbers seem to have kind of hit like a stink bomb. People didn't expect that. You and I talked about the crummy Christmas the whole time. And yet everybody else was saying how terrific it was. And retail sales were down in December. Healthy economies don't have retail sales down year after year. I mean, I don't think.
And if that's the case, I mean, MasterCard said that Big Box was decent and that online was up like over 5%. So I don't know. That's just one source. But
it does seem a lot.
It's very surprising, and I do think it's a substantial negative. I don't know about gift cards because I believe that gift cards are not counted when they're purchased. They're only counted when they're cashed in.
Right.
Perhaps the mix was big time to the cash cards, gift cards.
It could very well be.
Would not wipe out minus 1.8%.
Well, we had this, when we're talking in China, we seem to have resolution on the wall, and, you know, I hate like hell to give Mr. President advice, but I think my advice would be take the money they gave you. If you really want the wall, put up whatever, what did they give me, 45 miles of one or something?
55, I think.
Right, put up the 55 in the good spots that you really need it in your mind or maybe in other people's minds as well. Show how well it works, and if it does, you'll get the rest of the money.
Yeah, or you have money that's appropriated to whatever, defense, this, that, the other, that you can redistribute. You can move that money.
Right. Well, yeah, but I'm saying prove to people they gave you enough to prove that if it's a good idea, you can prove it's a good idea. I think.
I agree.
Anyway, we'll see what he thinks about that, but hey,
I don't think he'll shut down the government. I think he's got enough pressure from his own party that he won't do that again.
All right, but now, David, we haven't done this in like a very long time. We had the CPI numbers came out yesterday, so in anticipation of you being on here with me this morning, I'm going to kind of go through the debt here, the data. This is for January 2019, 1982 to 84 equals 100. Now we're talking about, I'll just ask you what you think is going on here. Well, now all items from last year to this year, unadjusted, how much would you say that is? Last year to this year, January 2018 to 2019, CPI.
2.2.
1.6.
1.6.
Unadjusted from January
to January. I wasn't terribly far off.
No, you weren't. But now we're going to go through here. Let's see.
I only guessed 2.2 because, you know, the Fed talks about, you know, the old standard, the old Harvard casebook from the 70s, and, oh, we always want 2% inflation, but they said they tolerate a tick or two above, and that's exactly why I guessed 2.2.
Okay, so let's just go through this real quick. So everybody knows where we're at. Food total.
Food, I have no idea.
Food, by the way, is 13.3% of the CPI. They've got us at 1.6 at home, which actually I would agree with. Food away from home, 2.8. I'm going to say that's a minimum of 8, food away from home.
Yeah, I was going to say that's definitely big time low.
Yeah. Now, food at home, I'm thinking, I've never seen pork prices and some chicken prices as cheap as they are now. You can eat at home from
Anchorage. Yeah, I mean, that one sounds actually a touch high.
Yeah, it does.
The outside the home seems way, way, way low.
Energy, 7.3% of your budget, according to these guys.
Well, I don't know if energy, if does that include gas pumping?
Yeah, energy commodities, fuel oil, motor oil, gasoline, electricity, utility, gas pipe service.
Well, I don't think the pump prices are much different, but I would expect the rest is substantially higher.
Gasoline, minus 10.
Yeah.
So energy total of minus 4.8.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That doesn't seem right to me.
Okay. So now you have, so all, that is 13%. Now, all items less food and energy are 79%. What do you suppose they are for the year? Now, food was 1.6. I'm going to help dig out your 2.2 because that's you're going to be exactly straight right on. That's probably the number you were looking at. So commodities, less food and energy, which is 19.5% of the thing. Now, get a little what's in here. Apparel, new vehicles, used cars and trucks, medical care commodities, which has to be prescriptions and stuff, right? Alcoholic beverages, tobacco, and smoking products. What do you suppose that is for the year?
Up 5%? Yeah.
Jesus. 0.3.
Oh, yeah, right.
This is one
that's insane.
This is one that's going to frost you. Medical
that's
care.
Nowhere near.
Medical
correct.
Care commodities, which must include prescription drugs, minus 0.3%.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
The only way I can think that it's even remotely close to that is, you know, because there have been a lot of, you know, patents expiring and replacement with generics. I don't think it's minus at all. Could it be up 1% or whatever? It could.
David, the world is not all Viagra, buddy.
I think there's generic on that blue chew that they're throwing in your face 25 times a day.
Well, that's why there's no more Viagra. Who are the other guys? Celebrex or Levitra ads on TV because they went generic.
Right.
They were $40 or $50 million to the NFL or something.
Yeah, and CLS and Ditka throwing that football through the tires.
Yeah, but you know, like I tell you
I
what,
miss that commercial.
You know what I miss? I miss the incredibly good looking women and wherever the lady bought her luggage on the Viagra. I've never seen luggage like that. That's the most gorgeous stuff I've ever seen. And anyway, the now
we're deprived.
Yeah, we're absolutely deprived. So alcoholic beverages is up 1.8. Tobacco is up 3.4. I mean, I don't know. Does anybody care about that anymore? So, yeah. So, now services.
I'm surprised they haven't taken it out of the basket.
Well, a lot of people. I mean, boy, go to Kentucky. See how many people are smoking.
Right.
Everybody. Services less energy. All right, I got to tell you what this is. Shelter, medical care services, transportation services. What do you think this is? This is now 59% of the basket. 59.8, so call it 60. So it's a big
is that hospital care and stuff?
Yeah.
medical care and whatever? Yeah. Oh, man. I would think that would be way, way up.
2.8 total.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, get a little shelter. Now, this is what they rent of primary residence. So this is if you own your place.
Go to the emergency room for 2-3 hours and check out what the bill is. Doesn't mean that they get that from the insurance. But, I mean, that you know, you spend 3 hours in the emergency room getting an IV, and it's, you know, $8,000.
Oh, sure. Rent of primary residence, 3.4%. And we know the way wait a minute. Rent is 3.4, and we know the rent in Chicago is probably up way more than that. Owner's equivalent rent of residences, 3.2%. Look at all this. Medical care services. There's two of them. There's physician services and hospital services. What do you think physician services are?
I don't know. What, point 0.8. By their measurements, up 2.5.
0.8. And hospital service. Yeah. Hospital services, 2.3.
Oh, God.
I don't see how, but you know the interesting part?
We've been saying for 4 or 5 years that that's a bunch of lies. And you know, you can go to tables and just, you know, get pump prices, get food prices, you know, and whatever, televisions, computers, whatever. And you can compare them in that basket. The numbers they come up with do not make sense.
Well, I just came from the auto show where it's possible to buy a four-door pickup for $75,000. New vehicles. Guess what it is from year to year? Zero.
I've given up trying to guess those numbers.
Zero. Zero. And used cars and trucks, 1.6%. I'm going to say the new vehicles have to be probably 3 or 4, and the used vehicles are probably 5 to 6. Easy.
I think new is higher, especially because of the tariffs. I mean, I told you, I shopped around because my lease was up. You know, to every single, and even American made. And, you know, at that time they were still disputing with Canada and Mexico and whatever, and they said, hey, part of that jump is the tariffs.
Well, I would agree.
I mean, if you wanted, you know, a Cadillac, the lowest model, the ATS with no trunk, I mean, you can't even start it, you know, like $46,000 if you want an engine and wheels.
Did you happen to catch yesterday? Jay-Z, I should do this to you. If you could Google this one, one of the numbers that came out, the amount of auto loans now that are 90 days in arrears is in the, it's like,
oh, yeah, that's jumped huge to, I think, the Great Recession levels are, yeah, just past the Great Recession.
What is it, like
levels?
9 million? It's like, is it 9 million? 8 million? Some huge number.
It's an enormous number.
7 million.
It's the biggest in like 10, 11 years.
Thank you, Jay-Z. It's 7 million. It's back to where, we don't, well, people are, I mean, you see the debt numbers just keep going up, up, up.
And that's strange because, you know, they tell us that wages are up, up, up 3% in a year, and the auto prices are, by their standards, are up, what did you say?
Zero.
0.8.
No, zero.
New car. Oh, zero. The car prices aren't going up,
right,
supposedly, and everyone's got more money in their pocket, but everyone's defaulting. Hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. The you know,
doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, well, I've got like you said, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Total debt per family is now up to $857,000.
Oh my God!
Savings per family is $11,000. That's up a little bit. So you've got mortgage debt is $15.5 trillion. Student loan debt. Now, David, we were doing the show. I'm going to say, Jay-Z. You know, this was. Yeah, it was B Jay-Z, before Jay-Z, they student loan debt used to be part of just regular personal debt, right? And they took it out, I'm going to say, 3-4 years ago, and it went through, Mandy and I were doing a show one morning, and student loan debt, I'm going to say, David, I'll be generous, 3.5-4 years ago, I don't think it was that long, it might have been 3, went through credit card debt. Now it's $1.590 trillion in credit card debt is $1.04 trillion. So it's not only through it, it's now 50% higher. So
crazy. I saw an article yesterday that I don't know, Republican, Trump, I don't know who, but that quote unquote the government, whoever the government is, what factions of the government, are proposing that for federal sponsored student debt, since there's been so many delays and defaults and this and that and the other, that they're working on a plan to, if you have a government-sponsored student loan, that they take the money right out of your check.
Right.
Automatically.
No.
So that they don't get the stretching the payments out and defaults.
The Jay-Z, I'm not accusing you of having any of this, but you probably know more about it. How does everybody end up with this, I'll use the term, blended rate? If you go to pick a school, you happen to be at DePaul, you walk in and the tuition's 45 and you got, you know, 10 or 15. I suspect you get, it seems to me, again, I'm asking you, that people end up with, so you got to borrow 20, say, that you, somehow you end up with like 8 directly from the government at, say, 3.5%. You get another 10 from somebody else at the government. I'm not sure they guarantee or don't, or they sponsor. It's more like 6%. Everybody ends up with this blended mess. Is that correct? Jay-Z?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry.
Is that what people end up with, this kind of blended mess?
Yeah.
And who determines what percentage of what you get?
I mean, there's a lot of different factors. I think college is a game, honestly. Like, you could totally go to college for free if you just try hard enough.
How would you do that?
There's so many ways to get different scholarships and just, like, apply for money. I mean, most of my friends go to school on full rides.
Really?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of services that point out, you know, for minorities, for handicap, for this, for sports.
You could literally get a scholarship.
You know, art and culture, like, and whatever. And there's tons and tons and tons of money that's never claimed or even applied
exactly,
for.
Exactly, yeah. I'm in a business fraternity, and there's scholarships with the lowest dues on campus and whatnot. And, like, literally, they give out thousands of dollars of scholarships a year, and I think last quarter, not a single person in my business fraternity applied for it. But, like, I mean, it's
why?
Just, I mean, probably laziness and also just, like, not really knowing.
Well, how would you mean?
Just not knowing. I mean, there's all these books, and I mean, on Shark Tank, there's these ones that, you know, literally for, you know, get the app and pay us, you know, whatever, $2 a month or $5 a month for 6 months, and we'll show you 70,000 different sources of money. Just go after it.
Literally. There was a scholarship, like, at my high school when I was going to school. It was, like, you could literally get, like, a $1,000 scholarship for wearing a duct tape prom dress. Like, you could literally get a scholarship for being 5'1". Like,
well,
you could get a scholarship for anything.
I don't, I mean, this is somewhat not new.
My daughter's 5'1". Why didn't I know of that? Yeah, that could have saved some money.
Believe it or not, Jay-Z, I was in high school once, and I know when I left, and again, the Notre Dame education at the time was, I'm going to say, $3,000 plus $1,000 for room and board. You didn't eat like you eat today, but you survived. And there was, people would say then, the guys at Marist would come in and say, you know, their last year there was a, you know, 2 Lithuanian scholarships from people that lived in Marquette Park that somebody died that they hadn't been used in years. Or,
right.
You know, there's Polish ones for some guy who dies and leaves it to something on the north. I mean, there's a lot of these ethnic scholarships people don't use. There's all kinds of stuff. What happens to all that money if nobody uses it, David? Just sits there in some trust? Must.
I think so, yeah.
Who gets to service all this stuff? Some bank? It must be.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and seriously, people are making businesses out of trying to get that information out to kids who really, really need it.
Well, you should.
And
what's
even
the point
not
of it sitting
kids,
there?
Even adults who want to further their education.
Well, in my era, how would you ever have found out? Now at least you got a chance.
Yeah, we didn't have internet.
Yeah, how would you ever, I mean, how would you even have a, all right, Dave, we got 2 minutes.
There was no such thing as an app.
We're now down 5.25 on the S&Ps. We were up as much as 12. These retail numbers came out, and they've kind of landed with a thud. What do you make of this, Dave? We've been real strong for a week. I put a lot of money together.
I was
together.
Really looking at the March S&P future, front month future, and literally if the enthusiasm, trade deal, avoid government shutdown, all this stuff, I do not see anything remotely, I mean, anything's possible, but I think 28-30 is absolutely the top. There's huge resistance between 2780, about, 1% higher, and 2830, about 2.5% higher. And really, there would be no real strong chart damage if it went down to 2550, which is 200 points lower, about 8.5%. So I just think there's maybe 1 to 2.5% upside for the near term, maybe, and I think that is a stretch. And I think there's 8 to 8.5% downside, and maybe that's the trading range for the next 6 months.
All right, David. Sometimes you got to get down to, should I buy or should I sell? I won't say on the air that I have about $2 million to put to work like right now.
I'll buy 5% dips.
Yeah.
And I'll trim holdings and hedge and even take a little short position, 1 to 2% up.
All right, but right now, should I? I was thinking of putting money to work today and just being real tight with the calls and puts.
I would buy big caps,
Disney,
a P&G, but again, only on 4 or 5% setbacks.
All right. Well, that SP futures
Microsoft,
down 7.
Really solid stuff. With dividends, but only on breaks. I would chase no rallies.
SP futures down 8 now. NASDAQ futures down 16. We're down almost 40 points in the NASDAQ since those retail sales numbers came out. Those things did not. Talk about landing with a thud. Thank you, David. Jay-Z,
okay.
Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.